Okay, good vach, everybody. Good vach. It's a beautiful schuss to be together and to see so many nashim tzidkaniyos who want to learn Torah, want to grow. Right after Shabbos Kodesh, I just want to, first of all, just thank Julio always for helping out and making sure that all the intricate details going into our shiurim. I want to thank as well the Goldstein family, Naomi and her family, Avi, who I'm so close to, that also very much makes this possible to have this beautiful makom to have this shiurim. So I want to thank them as well. We're going to a little bit continue. Those of us that were together 2 weeks ago, and the emesis 2 weeks ago feels like forever ago, because so much has happened in these past 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago was Matzei Shabbos Kodesh, we remember, after Yom Kippur. And we were trying to discuss and learn how to take Yom Kippur with us, but we were also preparing for Sukkot. And here we are, just 2 weeks later, and so much has happened. We went through a Sukkot, Hoshana Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, Shabbos Kodesh. You know, post Yom Kippur was difficult. Post Yom Kippur was a difficult time, knowing that those days of Yom Narayim is behind us, hoping that we did our part, hoping that we did everything that we could, and we're deserving of a year of Simcha and Bracha. But at the very same time, you know, post Yom Kippur, at least we had so much to look forward to. To look forward to Sukkot, to Simchas Torah, to Yantiv, such beautiful Yom Tovim, of the most beautiful times of the entire year. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us beautiful weather this year. I'm sure each and every one of us had incredible moments with our Mishpachos, incredible time. If you remember 2 weeks ago, you know, we talked about the difficulty of leaving Yom Kippur, how much more so tonight. How much more so after leaving all of these Yom Tovim. And even after Yontiv, even Wednesday night when Yontiv was over and was so difficult. Now the schus to daven in a very special shul, the shtibel, just a couple blocks away. And there, on Wednesday night, with the Rebbe, the Astor of Kal Shina Rebbe, of David Spiegel, and Yontiv always, it's very special because so much of his family comes and they're all such beautiful Yidden. And so Wednesday night, Meiruv was called for 7:22. Now in most shuls, when there's a time for a tefillah, that's when the tefillah begins. And people want things to be efficient and on time. Yontiv's ending, people have things to do, take down the sukkah, whatever else. At about 7:20, we started singing some slow songs, connecting still to Yontiv, as Yontiv was fading away. We sang for about 15, 20 minutes. It was already about 7:45. And the Rebbe's son, Rav Yossi Spiegel, he gets up to daven Meiruv after the Rebbe spoke for a few minutes. And you think you're about to daven Meiruv. It's already over 20 minutes after the Zman that we were supposed to daven. And he gets to the Makom and he couldn't start. He couldn't say V'urachum to start that weekday tefillah of Meiruv. That regular tefillah, without any Yalav Yavo, without any Yantav tefillahs. And he gets to the Bima, and I was right behind him. He gets there where he's davening. And he starts, Mamish, he starts jumping. He starts jumping. Okay. Starts jumping in place, and singing and screaming, Achak Eloi, Achak Eloi, Achak Eloi b'chol yom shavo. And the entire Beis Medrash, we just all start singing. And before you know it, within a minute or two, everybody's dancing around the whole Beis Medrash. We're already about a half hour after the time we're supposed to daven. And we're dancing Wednesday night. Because nobody in that Beis Medrash had anywhere else they wanted to be. And nobody wanted to leave Yontiv. And we're keeping Yontiv with us. And eventually, after a few more minutes, We had to start Meiruv. You know, even Wednesday night, which was difficult, And then Thursday is just this regular day. We call it Isru Chag, but it's just a regular day. Some of us had classes we had to take. At least still at that point, the nechama I had, one of the big nechamas I had was, we're so close to Shabbos. Shabbos is so close. So even though Yom Tov ended, I'll tell you a little secret. Shabbos is the holiest day of the year. Shabbos is holier than Yom Tov. Only on Shabbos do we lay in Shul 7 aliyahs. On Yom Tov we only lay in 5, on Yom Kippur 6. Shabbos is holier than Yom Tov. Give you another proof. Tonight, moments ago, we all heard Havdalah. Some of us made Havdalah. We made Havdalah and we had Besamim. Think back a few nights ago, Wednesday night. Did you have Besamim? You didn't have Besamim. When Yom Tov ended, you didn't have Besamim. There are a lot of understandings, but one of the main understandings, according to many Rishonim, is that the reason we have Besamim on Matzei Shabbos is because on Shabbos you have a Neshama Yisera. Now what exactly that Neshama Yisera is, maybe another time we have to have a whole shiur on that. And there's a value in that, obviously. But what that is, most understand it's not a new Neshama, we don't have a second Neshama. Neshama is our essence. But it's a Neshama Yisera, it's a greater Neshama. A Neshama is more in tune to the Rabbi Neshama, to Ruchnius. We feel our Neshama much more so. That Neshama Yisera, many Rishonim say, is not on Yom Tov, it's only on Shabbos. So when Yom Tov ends, even though it's hard for us to relate that, we feel also a lot of Kedusha on Yom Tov. But when Yom Tov ends then, you don't need Besamim. Because there was no Neshama Yisera that's leaving us, that we need a little pick-me-up. When Shabbos ends, you need Besamim. Then that tells us again, how much holier Shabbos is. And we have that every single week. What an incredible schus. How awesome that is. That every week we have Shabbos. So even when Yom Tov ended, I know personally, I had some nechama at least, that Shabbos was coming. And here we are. All the Yom Tovim are over. Yes, we have Shabbos again in a week, but we're at the farthest point from Shabbos right now. Maral says that's when the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Only at this point, on Matzei Shabbos. Because it's the farthest point from Shabbos. It's a difficult night. It's hard. You know, when we were together 2 weeks ago, it was post Yom Kippur, we had just a few days before Sukkot. Now we have a few months before Hanukkah. And we bench Rosh Chodesh today. We bench Rosh Chodesh today, we bench Rosh Chodesh of the 1 month of the year that we call Mar. Mar Cheshvan. This bitter month of Cheshvan is coming upon us. Rosh Chodesh is Wednesday, Thursday. Thursday is the first day of Rosh Chodesh, of Cheshvan. A bitter month. My birthday is in Cheshvan, so I don't know. I hope that's not why it's Mar. I don't know. I'm trying to live up and be a good person. I don't know. My birthday is actually the day the Mabul began. But also on that day the Torah was supposed to be given. So that's another Torah for another time. Yedzayin Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan. Mar Cheshvan, a month that's void of any Yom Tov, that has no Yom Tov. Mar Cheshvan, a month that follows Tishrei, which is full of Yom Tov, full of Kirvas Elokim. But first of all, before anything else, we have to understand in depth why it's really Mar. Yes, it's true there are no Yom Tovim. Now we're used to Cheshvan being Mar. We heard it today in Shul, if you were by Rosh Chodesh benching. But aren't there other months that we could call Mar? There's no other month we call Mar, only one. Like, aren't there other months that maybe are even more difficult than Cheshvan? Cheshvan happens to have no Yom Tov. But it also has no difficult days. It has no fast days. It has no tragedies that occur. Let's take, for example, Tammuz. Any Yom Tovim in Tammuz? Anyone can tell me of a Yom Tov in Tammuz? Maybe someone here's birthday is in Tammuz. Okay, fine. So I got Cheshvan. It's all good. But There's no yontiv in Tammuz. And we have a Shiva Asar b'Tammuz. We don't just not have a yontiv. We have a day which is the beginning of the 3 weeks. A day full of tragedy. The Gemara in Tainus gives us five terrible occurrences on Shiva Asar b'Tammuz. I don't even talk about them now. It's not the time. And hopefully we'll never have to deal with that again. We'll have Mashiach before the next Shiva Asar b'Tammuz. Mirtz Hashem. So why is it not Mar Tammuz? Why is it Mar Cheshvan? Why not Mar Tammuz? You ever think about it? What about Av? Av is Tisha B'Av. Av is Tisha B'Av. Av is the 9 days. Av are the greatest tragedies that have ever befallen Klal Yisrael. It's not Mar Av. Go back a few months. El. Can anyone share with me a yantav that was in El? Did we have a yantav in El? But we didn't call it Mar El. So why suddenly is it Mar Cheshvan? Okay, you could suggest in contrast to what we just had, but most just talk about the fact that there are no Yom Tovim in Cheshvan. But I just pointed out three other months that maybe should be Mar. Why Cheshvan? Why is that the most bitter month? So what I suggest as follows. You know what's the greatest simcha in the world for each and every one of us? Each and every one of us. The greatest simcha in the world. And not just the greatest simcha, the sweetest thing in the world. The sweetest thing in the world is when we feel close to Hashem. When we know Hashem is in our life. When we know Hashem is by our side. That's like the sweetest thing in the world. And when we have that, we're besimcha. And it doesn't matter what else is going on in our life. We all have our nisyonos. We all have our challenges, we all have our difficulties, we all have that which is very good in our life and that which is difficult in our life. And it's when we know and we feel Hashem by our side, life is beautiful. So when I'm by Simchas Torah HaKofos, and I know for you it's a little more difficult, you're standing on top watching and it's hard for women, it's not the same as actually being involved, but it's beautiful to watch. It's beautiful to watch those rejoicing with Sifrei Torah. Dancing away with Sifrei Torah. It's beautiful. And at those moments, you're just feeling it and you're just elated. Or just sitting in your sukkah. That first night of Yontif, sitting in the sukkah and being a part of that with your family and hearing the kiddush of sukkahs in the sukkah. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. But what's really beautiful, wonderful? That I'm sitting outside in some hut. And it's really beautiful and wonderful that I see, you know, men sweating away, dancing with scrolls. And it's really beautiful and wonderful when we were fasting all day in shul, davening all day. It was. There was a simcha. There was a sweetness. There was something that I felt alive and felt incredible. You know what all of those were? All of those days. What was so beautiful about it? I felt closer to Hashem. And when we feel close to Hashem, and we feel Hashem in our life, and there's all different ways, and the Yom Tovim give us all different ways to feel close to Hashem. That's why they're also called Moadim. Moadim means to meet up. To meet up with Hashem. We just met Hashem. We met Hashem through fasting. We met Hashem through dancing with the Torah. We met Hashem through taking an esrog and a palm branch and shaking it. But somehow, even if I don't understand all the intricacies, I met up with Hashem. And that was awesome. You know what else we can meet up with Hashem? And some of us listen closely. God forbid, and not what we want. But when we have serious tragedies in one's life. And when you have a day like Tisha B'Av, sometimes to some of us Tisha B'Av, although a difficult day, although a somber day, is also a day where we're elevated and we feel close to Hashem. And I feel that I walk out of that day a different person. And so too a Shiva Asar b'Tammuz. Because I know I'm doing more for Hashem and I feel closer to Hashem. And so too in a month of Elul, where even though there might be no particular day, every day is different than the rest of the year. Because I'm adding my tefillahs, I'm saying, L'davar Hashem or V'ishi, we blow shofar every day, we're preparing for Hashanah Yom Kippur. In other words, and stop and think about this for a moment. Every single month of the year, everyone, has something special about it. That helps us connect to Hashem. Whether it be through joy, through simcha, or through tragedy and tanesim. But something to help us get closer to Hashem. Every single month. That's the sweetest thing in the world. The only month that has nothing to help us get close to Hashem. Nothing. Is the month of Cheshvan. And therefore it's Mar Cheshvan. And therefore Cheshvan is a bitter month. But obviously, that's not how we leave it. Meaning, we're just entering into this time and we're leaving the Yom Tovim. The goal is not to be bitter. That's inherent in the month. The avodah of each and every one of us is to be nepach, that to turn that around, and to make it sweet. And to turn the mar means bitter, turn it around, the mem resh to resh mem, rum, is lofty. And that's up to each and every one of us. See, there's nothing that helps us get close to Hashem. But that doesn't mean each and every one of us can't be close to Hashem. And if we can be that even in the month of Cheshvan, if we could be that even in that month, that's the most genuine, most special, most sincere relationship. And actually the greatest joy. Actually the biggest simcha. Because it's eino taloi b'davar. What's true, right? We've learned in Avos. We've learned the Mishnah, the greatest ava is ava that's eino taloi b'davar. The greatest joy, the greatest love, is love that's not dependent on anything. When each and every one of you is zoicher to be with your bashert, you're zoicher to be in that incredible relationship, you'll see it's not a love that's, it should be ava she'eino taloi b'davar. I don't love this guy because I think he's handsome or because he has a good job. Those are details that may fade and may change. I love the essence. I love everything. I love it in the difficult times and in the good times. I love him. I don't love the details. So too with the Eivishter. I have such a deep connection to Hashem. It's not dependent on Sukkot or Simchas Torah or Yom Kippur. And even in what's inherently Mar Cheshvan, to me it's Rum. But the question is how? And I want to talk about what I believe is should be our focus during this month, more than any other month of the year. I think there's a lot that tells us this. And this is where I say this is going to be somewhat of a continuation from 2 weeks ago, but don't worry if you weren't here and didn't listen to that shiur. You didn't. It's all independent. It's just, you'll understand that it's deeply connected, and it's really what's been on my mind. And that's what I share. I share what's on my mind and what's in my heart and what I believe I need to be thinking about. I'm just opening up to all of us. So you're right after all these Yom Tovim, and to prepare for the month of Cheshvan, we just read this past Shabbos today, Parshas Bereishis. Parshas Bereishis is the creation of the world. Very deep, but very enlightening. And it's incumbent upon each and every one of us when we read about the creation of the world to recreate our worlds. And the way to do that, I believe, is to think about the following. Something that hopefully every single one of us has an understanding of, and this may be chazara, this beginning, this may be a little bit of review, but it's a review that's important and to remember. Sometimes, right, we've all learned some, I hope, Mesil Sharm. If you haven't learned Mesil Sharm, it's a good time to start. Like, don't wait till tomorrow, tonight, because it's the most important sefer in the world after the ones that God himself wrote or gave over, I believe. And the Ramchal writes that so all of his sefers, he's not giving us any chidushim, it's just review. But sometimes the most important things in life we need review of. So when we learn about creation of the world, it's not enough just to read, on the first day light was created, and on the sixth day man and animals was created. It's not enough to go through the days and Vayivoker Yom Echad, Vayar Lakim Ki Tov, very beautiful. But I think then it's incumbent on us to ask deeper questions. You know, we're no longer in kindergarten and first grade and coming home with our parsha sheets with, you know, all the days of creation. We know when the days of creation were. And the deeper question when you revisit creation, and I think maybe the most important question of life, is why did Hashem create all of this? Why did Hashem create the world? Which thereby will explain why did Hashem create you and I? Which will then give you the answer to the most important question, which is, what is my purpose and why am I here? Because that can guide every moment of my life and make sure that every moment of my life is meaningful. Every moment of my life is purposeful. And if I don't know that, by the way, chances are I'm living a pretty meaningless life. Because think about it for a minute. If I can't answer, if I can't clearly explain what my purpose in the world is, if I can't do that, and the only way to understand that is to know why God created me, then I'm just playing a game of chance. And maybe what I'm doing every day is meaningful, but maybe not. How could I know if I'm living a meaningful life if I don't even know why I am here? Probably the most important question that one could ever ask themselves. Again, and the only way to know my purpose is to know why God created me, because that's the answer to my purpose. So why did God create the world? Now, by the way, there's, you know, to really fully grasp everything, and this is this philosophical question, we could be here for hours, but just to quickly go through, at least to have Rashi Prakim. So there's a few different ways to go about this, obviously, but my life I've lived based on the words of the Ramchal in Derech Hashem, where he explains this. And that's what I'm going to give over. And he explains so beautifully. He explains that the Rabbonu Shalom is perfect in every way, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ein Sof. He's perfect in every way. And amongst being perfect in every way is being a perfect nosein. Be a perfect giver. Now to be a perfect nosein, to be a perfect giver, can't be if you have, for example, you have a tzaddik, or I'm not going to call, let's rephrase, a Talmud Chacham, and you'll understand why I rephrase that in a moment. A Talmud Chacham who sits in a corner all day in a yeshiva, Ichves Dishem Bnei Brak, and never interacts with anybody, but sits and learns Torah 15 hours a day. And learns, by the way, not just Gemara and Chumash and Halacha, but all the svarim that have to do with Chesed. Chavetz Chaim, Avetz Chesed, and Aruch HaTzaddikim, but never interacts with people. Eats, sleeps, learns. Is that person a Baal Chesed? It might be a big Talmud Chacham, might be doing a lot of good things in the world, because we believe deeply that Torah learning is priceless. But is that person a Baal Chesed? Absolutely not. Is that person a nosein? Absolutely. You have to actualize giving to be considered a giver. You have to actually give. It can't just be in theory. It can't be in potential. So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, the Ramchal explains, if the Rabbeinu Shel Olam is perfect in every way, and the perfect nosein, he couldn't just sit back and be, but he needed to give, to actually give. And therefore he created the entire world to give. Which is so beautiful. You know what's so beautiful in that? That means like our whole existence is just to bask in the glory that God is giving us. He created us to give to us. That means we're just each in our relationship to Hashem, this incredible makabel, enjoying all the pleasure that Hashem is giving us. Our job is to accept all that, and thereby the way we could accept all that is getting close to Hashem. That's why the most important thing in the world is to be close to Hashem and fulfill our purpose. In other words, the purpose of each and every one of us is what? If God created each and every one of us to give to us, and the whole world was created that we could enjoy all that pleasure that's part of the giving, what's our purpose? Just to be a makala, to enjoy all that Hashem is giving. Right? That's my purpose That's what it is. There's no other answer if you understand this. But here's the deeper question. If my purpose is to be a makabel from the Ribono Shel Olam giving, how do I do that? Meaning, I know how to be a makabel from another individual. So for example, let's say, I'm home, and it's a nice, sunny, hot day, 80 degrees, and you start hearing that niggin, you know the niggin? The niggin that sometimes just starts playing outside out of nowhere? You know, the niggin of the ice cream truck, you know? It's like one niggin, every community, it's the same niggin. There's only one niggin for the ice cream truck. So then you hear the niggin, you're like, oh, I could use some Mr. Softy, you know? It sounds good. It's hot day. So I know how I could go be makabel that. I'm going to have to go get a few dollars, go outside, and run to the corner and chop the ice cream truck, right? So I could go to the ice cream truck, in this case, is the mashpia, right? The ice cream truck is giving the ice cream, and I'm going to be the makabel. I'm going to go get the ice cream. I could go to the ice cream truck and get what I want. How does that work with the Ribono Shel Olam? If we could understand the Ribono Shel Olam is just giving, because that's how he created the world, to give, to be this no state. And we're the makabel. We were created just to accept. And by the way, that's why each and every one of us are such incredible pleasure seekers. Why do we all love pleasure? Let's be real, be honest, be true. Because that's how we were created, to be a pleasure seeker. The question is, what type of pleasure? And sometimes we look in all the wrong places. And we're selling ourselves short for minuscule level pleasures when God's giving the good stuff and we're missing out. I have to think about that. So how do I find the good stuff? God, what do I do? So I'll give you a derech mashal. Imagine right now in this room, this beautiful room, it was pitch dark. Imagine it was pitch dark. And you're in the back corner over there. And you have a sefer that you want to learn, but it's pitch dark. But here you go in the front corner over here. You see, like where Kayla is over here, in the front corner, she has her phone and her flashlight is on. But and you have a safer in the back. It's pitch dark. So what would you do? You'd walk closer to the source of light, so that you could learn the safer. So to listen closely. Kadosh Baruch Hu is this incredible being that his entire relationship with the world, if we believe in this idea, was he created the world to give. So he's this being just giving to the world. And our purpose is to accept and to enjoy that. So what do I have to do? To get close to Hashem. I have to get close to Hashem. In other words, each and every one of our purpose is one thing. Is to be close, to get close to Hashem. That's my purpose. Now there are multiple ways to get close to Hashem. There's no question. We said we got close to Hashem through Simchas Torah and through Yom Kippur and through Sukkot and through davening and through learning Torah. And we could, again, all night talk about that. And each and every one of us have our individualized ways, and we have different midos and different characters and different ways. But the ultimate purpose for everybody globally is to get close to Hashem. But what's the avodah of Cheshvan, how to get close to Hashem now that all those Yom Tovim are over? And again, we can through Tefillah, we can through Torah, but is there something to focus on at this point? And I believe if we just read about the creation of the world and Hashem created the world to give to us, that means the relationship of Hashem with the world is as a nosein, as a giver. And that's why now we can understand why our understanding of Hashem that we spoke about 2 weeks ago is Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, V'chanun, Erech, Apayim, V'chet, V'emet. It's all his midos, caring, empathetic, sympathetic. That's as a nosein, as a giver. You know how you get close to someone? I'll tell you something. You know, there's a line like in the secular world, opposites attract. There's some truth to that. Because when they're opposites, that what does that mean? It's because there's a certain excitement. There's a concept, mayim genovim yum taku. Stolen water is sweet. It's exciting, you know, being a little different once in a while. But ultimately, opposites can't have very deep, true relationships. To be close, there have to be similarities. To be close, there has to be that which is, that builds a connection. When you're dating, if you're completely opposite to the other person in every way, so you're not going to click, it's not going to go, it's not going to go anywhere. That doesn't mean every little detail has to be, you don't have to be mirror images of each other. You already have yourself. And there's definitely a need to complement each other and to complete each other. I just remember that line in the, back in my high school days, there was a movie out. It's a big movie. I'm not saying you should see it. I don't think it's appropriate. I'm not going to mention what the movie is, but you don't forget these things. You know, that's why it's an amazing thing. You can, no matter what, you can. Maybe they should have blessed us with memory. But it was a movie, and it was about a sports agent. And of course, part of the movie was like, I saw this my senior year in Florida. I still remember. You know, like yesterday. You know how many years ago that is? Anyways, January of 1997. How many years ago that? Right, 24 years ago. Almost 25 years ago. Anyways, Lamaisa, there's a sports agent. And, of course, but there's like a love story in the movie. You know, it was Tom Cruise. And, you know, it's a give and take, back and forth. And the couple's together, they're breaking up, they're together. And then, like, this is one, like, emotional scene. Mamish, like, very emotional scene. And I honestly don't remember if the guy said to the girl. I think it was the woman said it to the guy. Was an actress, Renee Zwellinger. But anyways, Lamaisa. Maybe, you know, I'm telling you, don't forget these things. I wouldn't. I think she was the one who said it to him. And one of these, like, emotional, where they're, like, that moment where either they're going to go their separate ways or be back together. And she looks and says, "You complete me. You complete me." It's very beautiful. Never forget it, because that's what it's about, to complete each other, to build this incredible relationship. But in order to complete each other, that means, by definition, there are differences that you're completing, but that also means to have any relationship that's going to be a connection, there have to be many likes. There has to be what that's connecting you. So if I want to be close to Hashem, I want to be close to the Eibishter, I want to be close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I have to be like Him. I have to emulate Him. And if God's whole creation of the world, and the way, therefore, that He connects to the world, well, as a no-sane, as a giver, you know what I have to be? I have to be a giver. I have to be a no-sane. And I could be a no-sane, whether it's Sukkot, whether it's Yom Kippur, or whether it's a Tuesday afternoon in Cheshvan. That's not dependent on any particular mitzvah. That's a particular time of the year. That's so beautiful. That's so wonderful. Maybe that's exactly the point. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all these days of Yom Tov to get close to Him, which were beautiful in all these ways, but so much of that is Bein Adon L'Makom. So much of that is between us and Him. And now He gives us a Cheshvan and no special ways to get close to Him. You know what we could do every day? Every day we interact with people. Every day we interact with friends, with family members. You know what we can do? We could care for others. We could give to others. We could be that no-sane. We could always be that no-sane. And we could elevate this month and make it the sweetest month. You know what's incredible? How many mitzvos are in all of Sefer Bereishis? Who knows? How many mitzvos in all of Sefer Bereishis? Now, you all know there's 613 mitzvos in Torah. So let's take a step back for a moment before we answer that. You don't want to try, but wait for a second. How many? Right, there's 613 mitzvahs. Let's see who's decent at math. Some of you might, I don't know, any of you looking to go into accounting or whatever it might be. So you have 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. You have five books of Torah, Chamusha Chumash Torah, which is primarily teaching us a way of life, right? Giving us the mitzvos, right? That's what it's there for. So you'd think they should be somewhat, not exact, but the proportions of mitzvos in the Sfarim should be somewhat equal, right? So what if we had 613 divided by 5 and it was equal throughout all the Sfarim? What would that be about? About, anybody? 130. Okay, good guess. You're close. It's between 122, 123, right? Somewhere between 122 would be 610, 123 would be 615. So somewhere between that. Good. Close. So it doesn't have to be exact. Let's say one's going to have 100 and one could have 160, right? That's fine. Still a nice amount of mitzvahs. How many are in Sefer Bereishis? The first book. How many mitzvahs in Sefer Bereishis? What did you want to say?
Is it a
trick question? It's a real question. Say, open up a Sefer Chinuch. They'll tell you how many mitzvahs. I don't know. There's an answer. I don't know what trick means here. Not zero. But close. Three. Very good. There are a grand total of three. We just had this morning, Pru Urvu, to have children. We're going to have in Parshas Lech Lecha, to have a Bris Milah. And Parshas Vayishlach Gid Hanasha. We're not going to talk about why those three for now. The first two actually make a lot of sense. It's foundation, fundamental. Gid Hanasha is a little strange, but three! In all of Sefer Bereishis. Beautiful stories. But three mitzvahs, really? Now, obviously, it's before a couple of Torah, and there's reason and rhyme for that, but three, why do you have a whole entire Sefer then? Torah is not a history book. Torah is a way of life. So I always believed something we learned as in the youngest of ages. But that we learned is emes. And that's derech eretz kadma l'Torah. You know what all of Sefer Bereishis teaches us? And read the stories. It's not reading the stories so I know about Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov and the Shvatim. It's to learn their midos. To learn their character traits. To learn what it is to be a giving, caring person. To read about Bereishis and say, wait a minute, all this God did to be a no-saint, so I have to be a no-saint. And to build the foundation of a giving individual, a caring individual, an empathetic individual, a sympathetic individual, an individual who puts others above myself always. And not just my friends and not just the people I like. We're going to get to next week's parsha. What's next week's parsha? Right away. So you get to Noach. What do you have? Destruction of the world. Why? Why was the world destroyed? Was the world destroyed because the people didn't believe in God? Because they were Avdei Avodah Zarah? The world was destroyed, the Torah tells us, because of Hamas. They were stealing from each other. And you go in depth and you read the Midrashim, they weren't nice to each other. They didn't care about each other. They treated each other poorly and terribly. Sodom is destroyed for the same reason. Anytime we find, by the way, destruction of the world, it's not because of our Ben Adam Lamakum. It's because of our Ben Adam L'Chaveiro. When there's lacking of Ben Adam L'Chaveiro, Hashem says that you don't deserve a world. Because I gave the whole world because of being no thing. Where do you find it? Go through. Noach, we find it that way. When were we almost destroyed? When was Klal Yisrael the closest to being destroyed? Purim, right? Purim, the Medrash says, it was already, the Gzeira was already Nechtam Betit, was already sealed in cement. You know why? Because we were Am Mefuzer Umefura Bein Am. We were spread out, we didn't have Achdus, we didn't care about each other. It wasn't our Bein Adam L'makom, it was Bein Adam L'chavero. That's why all of Purim is Leich Kanosis called Yehudim. Have Achdus, give Shalchmanus, give Matan L'Fionim, be a caring person, because we almost were destroyed because we didn't care in the proper way. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed that we're still davening for until today? Sinas Chinam. And even the first Beis HaMikdash, again, there's a lot of side reasons, but the main is we know, Gilei Raish, V'chadam, and Avodah Zarah. Why wasn't Avodah Zarah enough that we were idol worshippers? No. They're also at Vishri Chazdam and Gilei Raish, which is a lacking of Ben Adam Chavera. Every time the world was somewhat destroyed, or every time the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that was Hashem taking out his wrath on his building as opposed to on us. Because why? We didn't have Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. We didn't care about each other. We didn't put each other above ourselves. It happens to be. I had a very close friend and his wife were over today. They live in Teaneck and they were in for a bar mitzvah, Phil and Alana Green. I'll tell you a side incredible, just a side story. It has nothing to do with Shir tonight. It was just so beautiful. Phil's one of my closest friends from the time we were in high school. We grew up in the neighborhood here together. We didn't even go to high school. He went to Rambam, I went to MTA, but we then were roommates in Karev Miavna. Super, super close friends. So, just a side story for a moment. Lel Simchas Torah. So Simchas Torah night, I was in yeshiva where this was to be the Mashkiach in DRS. It was so beautiful. Maybe over 400 Talmidim singing and dancing. I know some of you have been there in the past. I know this year they didn't let you come. It was really incredible. It was really so, so special. What a mamish 3 hours straight of just Kirvas Elokim through Torah. And at one point, it was really incredible. At one point, so not only in DRS, not only DRS guys, it's a lot of guys from outside that come to be with their friends, to be there Simchas Torah, because it's of the most special hakafos in the world. And at one point, I see, I'm just out of nowhere, by the Torah dancing with two juniors in high school. One of them's in DRS, Talmud of mine, Isaac Solomon. And the other one is a junior from Frisch, who is in the neighborhood for Yontiv, Michael Green, who's my friend Phil and Alana's son. And I'm dancing with these two guys. There's a Torah right there. We're dancing around the Torah. And I turn to them and I say, you know that myself and my wife were the Shadchanim for both of your parents. We set up Phil and Alana. We set up Jared and Aliza. And here, years later, Simchas Torah night, at that like pinnacle, incredible Simcha, I'm dancing with their two sons. It was like such an incredible moment. It just formed like that. It wasn't like I didn't find them to pull them. I just noticed I'm dancing. You know, you're dancing with Simchas Torah, you're just dancing with anyone next to you. Just like, and here I'm dancing with these two guys who I like had a chelik in them being in the world, you know? It was like, it was such an incredible moment at such a holy time and really just super special. So Michael's father, Phil, was by me today. He's learning Daf Yomi. And he told me, he just shared with me, not that he didn't know what we're learning about tonight or anything, he didn't know what there was a shir going on tonight. He just shared with me that in Daf Yomi today, which is Daf Lamed Beis and Beitza, Lamed Beis is leaves. All that we're talking about comes from the heart tonight. That's all of Bein al-Mukhayra, it's all caring for others. So it's Daf Lev. This is what the Gemara says on Daf Lev in Beitza. Today's Daf Yomi, today. Daf Yomi is always like that. Whatever you see in Daf Yomi is like so connected to what's going on in the world. It's like the most incredible thing in the world. But that's Pashut, because the whole world runs on Torah. There's a Zohar about the beginning of creation, about today's, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu stakel baraiso baralma. He stared into the Torah and created the world. The Torah is the blueprint of the world. So everything that happens is found in Torah. So of course, Daf Yomi is going to have to do with whatever's going on in the world. But listen to these words. Kol hamerachem al habrios biyadua shehu mizaro shalavim vino. Anyone has mercy on other people, cares about other people, it's known that's a person that's a descendant of Avram Avinu. Is it Yid? Someone who doesn't have that mercy, someone who's not caring for others in the proper way. It can't be that they come from Avram Avinu. You have to care for others. But the Lashon there is merachim. Merachim is to have mercy. And to have mercy is pashut. All of us have mercy. Mercy is innate. That's what it is to be a Jew. To care for others. But what you need is more than that. And I want to read you the words of the Beramayim Chaim and Parshas Chayesara. Because every one of these Parshas, in all of Sefer Bereishis, in all of the month of Teshuvah, is only going to teach us about midos and caring for others. And we saw this in Bereishis, we saw this in Noach. You open up, it's everywhere. I'm not gonna, if we started going through every example in all of Bereishis, we'd be here all night. Parshas Chayesara, we know what happens. Where do you see it in Chayesara? Yitzchak goes to find a wife. I'm sorry, Eliezer goes to find a wife for Yitzchak. And what's the siman of a good wife, of a good spouse? That she's going to give to you to drink and to the camels to drink. There's something that Berimayim Chaim picks up on in that story that's so beautiful. And I want to read it to you from the words. It's from the Berimayim Chaim, but the Nesiv Shalom quotes it here. He said like this. Chesed and rachamim are actually two separate levels. Kindness and mercy. We often interchange those words, right? Be a kind person, be a merciful person. But listen closely, because this is who we have to be. Rachamim misoirim al yidei hamakabel. Mercy is stirred upon through the one who's accepting it. Meaning what? Shekasher roa adam asovel mitzar umachoivim harizeh nogea lelibo umaoro laazerlo ulahakel sivlo meilov. When a person sees someone in pain, suffering, it's misoir the heart, it stirs the heart. And of course, you're going to go and help that person. You're going to want to soothe their burden. That's a lower level chesed. That we all have. That's a no-brainer. There's nobody who's sitting here who needs to hear a shir on that. Everybody. Everybody here. A friend comes to you, crying to you, needing to talk about a situation that they're in, whatever it might be, you're not going to be there. No, I'm sorry. I have to go shopping to Fame because I need an outfit for Chvesnish, the wedding in 2 months from now. No. Fame will wait, and you're going to be there for your friend. Like, no question. Nobody has to be told that. No one needs to come to a shir Matzah Shabbos to be a Baal Rachamim. As we said, that's what the Gemara in Beit was saying. That's what it is to be a Yid. But listen to who each and every one of us should be. Inyan chesed, you know what chesed is? Hu she'isha chesed ashu etzem ha-chesed. A person who is a person of chesed, in essence, is full of kindness. What does that mean? Hariu ma'atzmo mechapes tamid lasos chesed. They're constantly searching to do chesed. Proactively, not just reactively, proactively. Ubechol makom shu nimsa, any place that they are found, mevakesh rak lasos chesed. All they want to do is do chesed. Umechapes tamin et elu azakukin lechesed, kdei lehated lem, and they're constantly searching and looking for others that they could do chesed upon. As he quotes a medrash by Avram Avinu, Shua oimed beparshas drachim, he would stand by the crossroads umitzapel orchim. He'd wait and yearn for guests. Not stay in his house and someone knocks on the door. Of course, you need something to eat, come in. No. He'd go out to find them. Ligmolim on chesed. That's the type of people we need to be. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to create the world to be a nosein. It wasn't rachamim, it's chesed. There was no need yet for that. And that's what we need to emulate, and that's who we need to be. And like a Ben Avram, Bas Avram Avinu. I remember years ago, I once shared this, but it's been a few years. I don't know if anyone was present, but I know I once shared this at a woman's share. Someone I was very close to was driving down Central Avenue. And they saw a woman pushing a stroller. And they noticed the stroller, it was very, like the woman was pushing very, very slowly. And the stroller was mamish, like all ripped up, and even the wheels were deformed. And it was like very hard to push the stroller. Now that particular person, just like the week or two before, purchased the new stroller. I don't know if you know or holding in the world of strollers, but I'm not even holding right now in the world of strollers because it's constantly changing. But like good strollers, sometimes you have to like take out a mortgage for that. You know, it's like, you know, it's over $1,000 for good strollers. And they just bought, him and his wife, like an expensive stroller. It was a big purchase, but it was hoping it's going to last a long time. But he sees this woman. You know what he does? He drives straight home. He lived a few blocks away. He goes into his garage. He takes his two-week-old stroller. He throws it in the back of his car. He quickly drives back, finds the woman like one block up because she could hardly move with her stroller. Pulls over and says to this woman, you know, I saw that, you know, you have a child and you have a stroller. I have this extra stroller. Maybe you could use it. And she took the stroller. She was so thankful. And he said, oh, let me take your old stroller. I'll get rid of it for you. And even took the stroller to throw it out, whatever it was. Okay, later that night, he had some explaining to his wife, you know. That's Baal Chesed. It's Baal Chesed. Someone who's on the lookout. I'm looking for those type of people. I'm looking for situations. No one's coming to me to ask. No one's crying at my heart. I'm a giving person. And when you are that giving person, first of all, I could be that person always. Every day of my life. Every day. And I don't need a yontif for that. But then I'm emulating Hashem and I'm going to be closest to Hashem as well. I'm that same nosein like the Eivishter. I'm a bas melech. I'm a bas melech. And not even to analyze what's going on with the Makabel. That was Avram Avinu as well. Avram Avinu, he's looking for, right? He has his bris milah. And next week's been Lech Lecha, and then beginning of Ayera, he's standing outside in the heat of the sun, Cham and Artika, looking for guests. Who comes his way? We all know. Malachim, angels. And he feeds them all this food. Bazar, right? All this food. They're angels. Angels don't eat. Angels don't eat. It wasn't even real. They didn't get any sustenance from it. And that's where we learn about the paradigm of chesed. That's exactly where we learn about chesed. You know why? It's not about what's being accepted. Just give. Don't overthink what's going to happen on the other ends. Just give and give and give. Be a noisein. Be a giver. Be a caring, empathetic individual. A balas chesed. Not just a balas rachamim. A balas chesed. And I'm emulating the Eivishter. And that's as well, by the way. I know a lot are in the parsha and in dating and hoping to Bez Hashem form that beautiful relationship. You know, in a few weeks, just one more place, we'll talk about maybe Sefer Bereishis. Parshas Chayesara, the purchase of Maariv Hachpelah. The Gemara in Kedushin says that we learn about marriage, or what we call halachic engagement, Kedushin, from the purchase of Maariv Hachpelah. And you know why one day, for those of you who are not yet married, one day there's going to be a husband, Bezer Hashem, the man of your dreams, that will put a ring on your finger and say, all right, I'm a Kadesh Lidus Mazuk, that's Moshe Yisrael. We learned that actually, that form of engagement, because there are different types of engagement, from the purchase of Maariv Hachpelah. And it's based on the Pasuk says, Ki Yikach Eshes Isha, when a man will take a wife, and by the purchase of Maariv Hachpelah. It also uses the word kach, hasadeh kach mimeni. And just like Avram acquired the Maariv Hachpelah with money, so too one gets engaged with a monetary means, or what's called shavah kesef, which is the ring, has a value of money. Isn't that strange? I mean, they're psukim, we're learning this from psukim, and there's a custom and all these things. But like, really? That's where I want to learn about marriage from? We're going to learn about marriage from burial of Sarah? Couldn't we find a nicer place? Couldn't we find a sweeter place? That's where I want to learn about marriage from. So a lot of beautiful answers. But I always thought one was MS, was the following. You know what it is? You know what it is when one deals with what we call chesed shel emes? When you deal with a dead body, it's chesed shel emes. Chesed shel emes means the most truthful type of kindness. The most real kindness. Because so many people do kindness and are really mostly concerned with themselves. And they're helping someone else so that another person helps them back. And they're giving money to institutions so their name is up on a building. And all different types of reasons that one can do chesed. And often that revolves around yourself. God forbid. Chesed shel emes. When one deals with dealing with lo aleinu, a dead body, it's the most pure type of kindness because there can be nothing given in return. There's no favor back. And therefore we know it's chesed. It's most truthful chesed. That's halavai. That's how all our chesed should be, just as pure. That's where we want to learn about marriage from. So too should be in one's marriage. It should be chesed shel emes. It should be a chesed that I'm just giving and giving and giving without looking for anything in return. That's ava, love, which is rooted in hav, to give. That's where your marriage should be. But the emes is, that's how marriage is the pinnacle of relationships. That's how all our relationships should be. Our relationships, the people we come in contact with, I just want to be someone who gives and gives and gives to others. And then I'm emulating Hashem, I'm most God-like in this world. And then I'm closest to Hashem and fulfilling my purpose in this world. Lo tov heyos adam levado, we read this morning. It wasn't good for man to be alone. Rashi has a deeper pshat. Most people think it must be. What do you mean? Of course it's not good to be alone. How is he going to have children? How is he going to procreate? Some of the Rishonim explain, God would never have created man with that inability. He was actually originally able to have children alone. So why lo tov heyos adam levado? I once saw in a sefer, bayis and menucha. You know why? If you're alone, you can't do chesed to anyone else. That's lo tov. The only time we read this morning, lo tov. Everything, vayarlakim kitov. Vayarlakim kitov. Vayarlakim kolashras a tov mode. What was the one time we saw lo tov? Lo tov when man was alone and can't do chesed and can't give to somebody else. The whole relationship, the whole creation of marriage of a woman and a man and a woman together was to be able to be baalei chesed, to give to each other. But that should be in every aspect of our life. In any relationship in our life. Lo tov heyos levado, it's not good to be alone. Because the whole entire essence of life is to be someone giving, caring. And then I can take Mar Cheshvin and turn to Ram. Maybe that's what Hashem wants for us more than anything else. He gave us Sefer Bereishis with all of it teaching us Derech Eretz. He gave us Parshas Bereishis to remember why the world was created. He gave us a month void of Yom Tov, so I don't make it all about Ben Om Makom. I make it about my relationship with Hashem that I build through my relationship with others. And then it's the sweetest month of the world. Sweetest month of the year. Just to end with a true story, 100% true story. I was asked by my Talmud to keep this anonymous. But you guys could trust me. But it's this special of a story, that's why I'm giving such an introduction. A Talmud of mine had his brother's chasana. And that very day of his brother's chasana, he started a very intense graduate program. I'm gonna leave out some details because they want to keep it anonymous. And maybe people could put it together, but so I'm just not telling you which type of graduate program it was. You got it, right? Anyways, he started a very intense graduate program on the day of his brother's chasana. But it was all the class, all the graduate program at that day was all on the computer, online, whatever it was. So he was just sitting, actually in his parents' home, if I'm not mistaken. So he had to be on these classes in the morning. His wife was 9 months pregnant. They already had one child. And so they had to get a babysitter for their young child for the chasana. So because he was very busy this first day of graduate school, he couldn't miss. His wife was driving to go get this babysitter. And went to pick up the babysitter. And unfortunately was in a terrible car accident. Mamish, the car totaled. And he's in the middle of the class. He starts getting calls from random numbers, but he doesn't pick up. Eventually gets a call. He sees it's a wife number. And he just hears his wife crying. And he makes out this was some accident. He gets in his car and he runs over. And my blocks are blocked off with ambulances and police cars. It looked like serious. He was very nervous. Baruch Hashem, she's in the ambulance, but she's, Baruch Hashem, physically, they believe 100% fine. He couldn't, when he saw the car before he saw her, he was like, Mom, I'm just so nervous because the car was destroyed. But they wanted to take her into the hospital to just confirm that everything was okay with the baby. So they're going to take her in the ambulance to the hospital. So he goes with her to the hospital. Again, this is in the afternoon, hours before his brother's wedding. But obviously, this is the most important thing in the world. And they go to the hospital, and they check out, and Baruch Hashem, they see that everything's fine with the baby. But because of all this trauma, because of what happened, the doctors, she was already in her ninth month, well, the doctors decided they should induce her so that make sure there are no issues, and she should give birth now. But they say because they're inducing her and it was already a couple weeks early or whatever, a few weeks early, whatever it was going to take a while. It wasn't something. So they induce her. And she basically says that he could go. You could leave and go to the wedding because nothing's happening over the next few hours. You shouldn't miss your brother's wedding. Now the only other problem was, to top this all off, when she got into the hospital, they saw there was some sort of blood count within her, within the pregnant woman, that wasn't in a good place. Nothing to be concerned about with her, but because of that, whatever the exact situation was, I don't remember this detail, but they weren't able to give her an epidural. We read this morning, right? The call of Chava is difficult childbirth. That's childbirth without an epidural, you know? That's why they say, it's brought down in Svarim Kedoshim, that as we get close to Mashiach, the klolos of Adam are going to become lighter. And we see Baruch Shem Parnasa compared to generations before is so much easier. Obviously, we all have our struggles, but so much easier. And with medication and epidurals, we see that the klol of Chava, we see Bez Hashem, we're getting closer because of the Mashiach. But that's not what most women ever want. I'll tell you personally. I mean, not personally, I'm a man. But like, what I mean by that, at least as Ishto Kagufo, feeling my wife and being there by her side. So my wife, who's a tzaddikess and incredible, but she decided she was very afraid of an epidural, like about pain that comes upon you without choice is one thing. She'd like to ask like someone to put like this needle in her back. She couldn't bring herself to do it. So with our first child, with our bechor, she's decided I'm not getting an epidural. I'm not getting an epidural. So she went all natural. Let me tell you something. With all our other children, the first thing she did when she found that she was pregnant was order an epidural, you know? So it didn't really go as planned, you know? I mean, Baruch Hashem, we have a beautiful son. It went as planned as that, but it wasn't easy. It's a lot of pain. So this woman who gets in this crazy car accident, has all this, you can't imagine, traumas, missing her brother-in-law's wedding, is in a hospital being induced without an epidural. But tells her husband go to the wedding because the contractions didn't start yet. She wasn't in the pain yet. And she sends him and says, I'll call you if I need you. And he gets to the wedding and he was there. I believe he was there just for the chuppah and got to dance with his brother like right after the chuppah. And then she basically called him and said, I think you have to come back. And not because I don't think she was ready to deliver, but because the pain was like excruciating and she needed him by her side. So he, of course, goes back to the hospital. It wasn't so pashut even, like, leaving the hospital, going back to the hospital, because this was in, like, the midst of COVID, but he, like, somehow he, like, I think, escaped from the hospital and went back in. There's a whole, that's another story. And Baruch Hashem, she had a healthy, beautiful girl. But listen to this. In the midst of, like, the incredible, excruciating pain, in the midst of it, which I can't imagine. And none of you should ever have to imagine. And it's not just the physical pain. Imagine what it was, the whole the day and the trauma and getting into this accident and being worried about yourself and worried about your baby and missing your brother-in-law, everything that's going on. In the midst of it all, my Talmud sees his wife davening. Now that we could all imagine. Right? That's what we do as Jews when we're in pain, right? When we're suffering. When we're going through difficulty, we call out to Hashem to help us. But listen to this. She wasn't davening for herself. She was davening for a family member and a friend. She had a family member who unfortunately had fertility issues for a long time and was unable to have a child. And she had a friend in the same predicament. In the midst of all this pain and all this suffering, in the midst of everything she went through that day, she decided that if the Eibishter gave us this nisayon, it must be for something much bigger. And Baruch Hashem, she had a beautiful baby, and that's amazing and incredible and the biggest simcha in the world. But she said, it must be for something big. And she decided, I'm going to use it to daven for my family member and my friend. I'm going to use it to beg the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, if you did this for me, bring out simcha from this. Hazarim bedima barina yiksoru. Both of these young women were for a very long time not able to have children dealing with, you could imagine, you should never imagine. 9 months later, 9 months after her baby was born, 2 days apart, both of those women had babies. 9 months later, 2 days apart. I think they had the same due date even initially. They both had children. The koyach of tefillah is off the charts. You know what I believe that was? It wasn't just tefillah. Tefillah is big, and tefillah works, and tefillah is incredible, and don't stop davening. But that's a balas chesed. That's someone who's living everything we're speaking about tonight. Of putting the others above ourselves. Of caring for others, of giving to others, of emulating their Ribbono Shel Olam. I completely mevatel myself. It's not about me. I'm here for others. I live for others. I'm here to help others. I'm here to help my friends, my family, other anyone. And when Hashem sees that, how could Hashem not answer such tefillas? I'm zeichet to 2 children being born. Chever, it's true that we left all the beautiful Yom Tovim. And it's true that we're entering into a month that's called Mar Cheshvan. But it's up to us to turn our way around and make it sweet. The Eibishter gave us Sefer Bereishis, and gave us creation of the world, and gave us all the hints to tell us what our avodah is. Just be there for others, care for others, give to others. And you'll see, the secret behind it all is not only that you'll help others, you'll be the happiest person in the world. Because you'll feel that I'm living up to my purpose in this world. You'll feel that I'm living a meaningful, purposeful life. And maybe just like Hashem answered those tefillas, it's through us acting in such a way, there's no question that's what Hashem's waiting for. If the Beis HaMikdash that we're waiting to rebuild was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, that's for sure what the Ribbono Shel Olam's waiting for. So let's live it, this Cheshvan. It's brought down in Svarim Kadosh, and the Cheshvan is going to be the month when we're Zoichet to Mashiach, you should know. Again, there's other allusions to the Beis HaMikdash specifically. Okay, there's other months spoke about the Gula as well. It just means there's a conducive time. Mashiach could come at any month. But let's do our part. Let's connect to Hashem and have Kirvus Elokim, not just on Yontiv. Let's have Kirvus Elokim during Mar Cheshvan and walk around with the biggest smile in the world and have the sweetest of lives. Bizoichet, only Simcha and only Bracha and Geula and Yeshua for each and every one of you, for your families, and for all of Klal Yisrael.